We are so glad that you have decided to join us today for the Bridge for Peace Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. On this weekly podcast, which comes out every Wednesday, Annette interviews a member of the Bridge for Peace family. If you would like to learn more about our ministry or help us by becoming a financial partner, visit our website at bridgeforpeace.org. We hope you enjoy the interview and that you are inspired to walk closer to Jesus. Here is Annette.
Welcome to the Bridge for Peace program. I'm Annette Eckhart with you today, bringing healing to the nations through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, I know that you have so many stories of how the Lord has worked in your life, and we never get tired of hearing the testimonies. And in Bridge for Peace, we especially know the Lord as connector, the Holy Spirit as the connector. And that's why we have bases now in South America, Europe, Africa, Australia, and now in Asia. Thanks be to God, as the registration is there now to be registered as Bridge for Peace in Asia. And I'm here today with Matt Geldert. Welcome, Matt, from True Light Electric. And we've been talking about the connections that the Lord makes, and particularly in business, Matt, customers that you've met. Could you share with us one of those standout experiences?
Absolutely. About two years prior to COVID, my uncle, who lives over in Seacliff, was doing a job out here in Matatuck, and the homeowner needed an electrician. She asked him if he knew one. He goes, "Yeah, my nephew's an electrician." He calls me up. I go over to this lady's home, and you know, she needs a few lights, a few outlets and switches installed in her basement. So I said, "All right, no problem. But as we're sitting there talking, I was probably wearing one of my shirts. And so she saw something that, you know, Jesus, God, whatever shirt it was, I can't remember. Anyway, we started talking, like, "Oh, yeah, you're a believer? Yes, absolutely. Praise God. And we started talking. And my uncle, you know, who is not on board, he's not there yet. He goes to church regularly, but he just hasn't made that full commitment yet. Started saying, "You guys just going to talk about God all day? You're going to, you know," this is the way he talks. "You know, are you going to do some work around here?" And said, "Listen, when we're talking about the Lord, that is work, John. You know, we're discussing things." And anyway, we hit it off really well, her and I. We could talk for hours. And so anyway, I do the job of working. I finish up. She's like, "What do I owe you?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "Absolutely nothing." I said, "This is my gift," because God says when you, he gives you gifts to use them to build up the kingdom, to build each other up. So, you know, there's times in my life where I'm like, "You know what? This is for the Lord. You're doing this. What am I going to do? I'm going to charge him?" Absolutely not. So it was a gift and I loved it, but we became friends. I told her, "Listen, when my uncle goes back to Seacliff, you have problems out here, you just call me. You know, instead of calling all these other guys, I'll come over and take care of whatever you need here." So time goes by. She, in the meantime, she had a big house that she uses for ministry work. Her husband passed away. She told the Lord, "If I can keep this home, Lord, if you make it away, I will use it for retreats to further the kingdom. People can come there." So pregnancy center goes there, breast cancer awareness. People hold their retreats there. So she has a beautiful basement apartment. The lady's living down there. COVID hits. I was living over in Aquabog, the next town down. COVID hits. The lady passes away. So now, you know, a year or two goes by. I, you know, fell out of touch. Then all of a sudden, my wife and I were selling our home after COVID. Because we just figured, you know, we're going to move down to Florida, spend time with our son. And so we're in the process of selling our home, and we sell it. Now, all of a sudden, I have to be out within a week or two. I have no place to go. I don't have nothing to buy because I don't have money from the closure of the home yet. So I'm desperate and I'm praying to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm going to be homeless here. I got to get all my stuff out." So a little voice feeling inside, reach out to Maria. thinking, Maria. Oh, Maria, I did the work for her out there, maybe that apartment. So all this is going on. I'm like, I'm not going to reach out to Maria. I haven't talked to her in years. I'm going to reach out to her and say, hey, can I stay with you? And that apartment, is it vacant? And, you know, prodding. I was in tears because I was like, I didn't know what to do. My wife, my kids, where are we going to go? So I do. I reach out to Maria. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I send her a text if I could talk to her. She says, you know, and I said, Matt, you know, Marie, this is Matt from years ago. I don't know if you remember me. Just wondering if that apartment was still available. But Bob, she gets back to me. She goes, Matt, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She goes, 2 days ago, I was praying to the Lord that if he doesn't send me somebody, this brings almost tears to my heart. If he doesn't send me somebody to help me with this house, that I'm going to have to sell it because I can't take care of it. She lives in a different location. She comes out on the weekends. It's a big home.
Yeah, she's an hour away at least.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the home needs a lot of work. Built in the 87. Not too, but things go wrong.
Surely.
Plumbing issues, carpentry issues. The deck is falling apart. The roof, the land, you know, just everything about the home, you know. She knows nothing about the home. The husband always took care of that. Now it's in disarray. Every time she calls a contractor, it's $800. They pull up, they see the home. Boy, that's it early. Crack you over the head. It's this, it's that. So she was like, I was just talking to a real estate agent about putting the home on the market.
My goodness.
And I said, she goes, if you need to stay there, you can come on over. It's a mess. I haven't even been down in that apartment for over a year. But you're more than welcome. You could come over and we can meet and talk about it. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, so we come over there. We haven't seen each other. I say, hey, how you doing? And then we start sharing. And she was like, Matt, I cannot even explain to you how I, and she was in almost in tears. Like, she's like, I was just praying about this.
Thank
and
you,
I'm
Jesus.
Like, I'm praying for a place prayers. To live. She's praying for somebody to come in. We connect. I mean, and now here we are. We never went to Florida because we live there now. She loves us living there. So we hope we don't ever move out. And we've become involved in her ministry, which is Hidden Treasures Made Known.
I love that.
Yeah,
name.
Hidden Treasures, Hidden Made, Treasures Known. Made Known. They work with group homes from Brooklyn and Queens, kids that are in a transition, you know, rough start in life, no parents, parents maybe in jail, parents have died.
Right. So just so that those that are listening, as you're describing that, Matt, this is what group homes, this people who live in group homes would be there just for the reasons that Matt is discussing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Maybe their parents are in jail or sometimes
absolutely.
The parents can't control the children. A lot of times in my experience, it's the parents' fault, not the children's fault.
Absolutely. I mean,
but that's what we have here in New York. We have homes where children who, for one reason or another, can't live with their parents oftentimes live in a group home. So this Hidden Treasures Made Known is working with children that are in this situation.
Yep. And then 5 years ago, they started something where they figured, you know what, she wanted to use the home for once a year to take these kids from five group homes in Brooklyn and Queens, men and women, and bring them out to the east end of Long Island and give them a day of prayer and worship and food and fellowship and let them know that, you know, hey, there's a Father in heaven that loves you.
Beautiful.
And so that's what she does. And that is called For the One Retreat. And behind that is the first year they did this, the idea of doing this, only one kid from one group home showed up. And now they had spent a lot of money getting everything involved, you know, the food, the goods and everything that goes along with hosting something like this. It had rained and they were very discouraged. And Maria was like, you know, she second guessed it from what she, I don't want to tell her whole testimony, but long story short, he had said to her, would you have done it for just the one?
Beautiful.
Isn't, you know, leave the 99 and just for the one?
One.
And when that was put onto her heart, that became the name of the retreat that we hold every year around this time. This is year five. Last year we had 70.
70 children.
70 men and women from ages 18 all the way up, because a lot of these kids, once they turn a certain age, they're no longer...
They have to leave the group home.
Exactly. And a lot of these kids in the beginning were basically, I hate to say it, but, you know, they were a meal ticket. A parent can get a certain amount of money for a child, but once they turn 18, the young man or woman would be out of the house. Right. And now they no longer can't fund themselves.
Right.
So they fall through the cracks of society. And that's where they would step in and try to help them and guide them.
You know, Matt, when I'm listening to the stories you're sharing with us today, I'm thinking of when the plan doesn't work. You had the plan to go to Florida.
That was years ago. Uh-huh.
And that plan didn't work.
Yep.
Right? And she had the plans also that she had to keep the retreat house going, but didn't seem like that was working.
Yeah.
And then the plan to hold a retreat for the young men and women in this situation didn't look like that was working either, right? And it just reminds me of Jeremiah, how, you know, it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I'm thinking we may very well have people listening today who have a plan that seemingly doesn't work out. And how oftentimes that's when our plan doesn't work out, it's because it's not God's plan. And that's what I hear in your testimonies today, over and over again, people with plans that just not working out, looks like it's falling apart, you know, and meanwhile, it's God's glorious, extraordinary plan that's being put into place. So would you pray for anyone listening today who says, wow, the plans that I made, I thought I had it all figured out. I'm going to Florida or whatever it is, you know, and I thought I'd keep this house and now it's falling apart. And I thought I'd run this retreat and only one person showed up, all these different plans, and how now we see the glory of God in them. Would you please, Matt, pray today for anyone in that situation? Thank you.
You know, that's the thing too, with like plans, plans, not results. I've heard them say that. So sometimes in life we make these plans and it doesn't fall through. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have another plan for you. It's just not the timing is right. So when you're in that situation, I always say, you know, pray to the Lord. And I say nowadays, let thy will be done, you know, because his plans are always better than ours. So don't ever be discouraged if your plan does not come through. Just look at his, Lord, you have a better plan. Help me to achieve that plan, because these could be distractions. These could be downers in our life. And we look at it like, all right, well, you could have been easily discouraged and gave up. But always also keep your heart, your mind open to hear God's word. See, if he didn't, if I wasn't going to go down to Florida, he had a better plan. I was open to it, but I had to be in prayer about it. Everything always with prayer. So, Father, if there's somebody out there listening, Lord, and as of right now, their plans haven't gone the way they've planned them out to go, please intercede. Show them that you have a better way. Patience and tolerance for that also. We have to be patient and waiting for his word to come through. Because a lot of times we think, all right, I have deadlines. I'm going to be evicted in about 2 weeks. What am I going to do? The stress of life takes over. So, Lord, anybody that's going through a situation where it's not going as they planned, please intercede. Let them know that you care for them. You are their child. Like you said, plans to prosper you, not for you to fail. Okay, life gets challenging, but we should never be discouraged and give up. Always pray to the Lord. His ways are better than our ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this inspiring episode of the Bridge for Peace, Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. If you would like to learn more about the ministries of Bridge for Peace, or help us continue publishing these podcasts by becoming a financial partner, please go to our website, bridgeforpeace.org. If you desire to learn more about praying for healing and understanding all that the grace of God provides for you through the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ, check out our Foundation e-courses on our website. Also, if you have any questions, need prayer, or have a story to share, email us at info@bridgeforpeace.org. Please join us every Wednesday for more inspiring interviews with Annette. This is Scott Silverberg for Bridge for Peace founders Ed and Annette Eckert, wishing you a blessed day and hoping that you would allow Jesus to become your bridge for peace.